हरिः सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
So page 27. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, their minds very much disturbed, those saintly ladies placed their children before them and then bowed down to the Lord of all creatures, laying their bodies flat upon the ground. They desired the liberation of their sinful husband and the shelter of the Supreme Lord, the giver of ultimate shelter, and thus they folded their hands in supplication and approached him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates.
Sometimes people ask me, are they also serpents? The wives?
I mean, you always see the pictures that they're half-half.
Mermaids.
snake maids.
But they're shapeshifters, right?
They are reptiles, and they are changing shapes, so yes, you could put that together, but they're not from Pleiades. So they're different from the president, yeah.
Was the X one? The previous one? Was it this one also?
Yes. I don't know. No, that was the previous one. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Present one, they're still trying to figure out what planet he's from.
The Nagas, in that, when they want to, they conspire to kill Janmajaya and to thwart his this thing. So one of them says that one of the plans is that we'll take up the guise of a Brahmana and go there and do some mischief. So like you said,
they can change. Because they can take a human form, or they can take... Because whatever their natural form is, that's what they're more comfortable with. So being a snake is the most natural, comfortable form. But they can take a human form, it doesn't matter. It's just like... what's his name? Their sister married Jarakaru, right? And so then their son, Astika, then he's the one that stopped the snake sacrifice. So Jarakaru means he's human, but she's Naga. But they take on that form, or just like Arjuna, then his wife Ulupi, she's a Naga. So they can take these different, whatever's the situation and things. Yes, so they are reptilian shape changers, as you said. Yes.
Rakshasas also can change their shapes.
Rakshasas. Yeah, Rakshasas. Most anything above humans can. We can't. Means it, how you say, a huge amount of the economy is based on humans trying to change their appearance. But
correct.
The wives offer respects by paying obeisances on the ground. It is understood and also suggested by Srila Jiva Goswami that in the lake of Kaliya there was an island where Kaliya held Krishna in his coils. The inhabitants of Braja could see this. The wives put their own babies in front of them to invoke the compassion of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the Nagapatnis were astonished that, although Kaliya had the body of a serpent, as a result of grievous sinful activities, at the same time he was in contact with the Lord to the extent that the Lord's lotus feet were touching his hoods. Certainly this was not the ordinary result of pious activities. These two contradictory facts astonished them. Thus they continued to pray. So, because to come in contact with the Lord, that takes devotional piety. So, And whenever they would discuss devotional service, it would appear that he didn't really take that very seriously. Right? So, but by their association like that, then he's gotten by the association of Kaliya, because guaranteed he thinks a lot about Garuda. Right? So then Kaliya always thinking about Garuda, he's meditating on the pure devotee. And then his wives are pure devotees, so then it works out for him. So he gets. So that's why they're. Because being a snake, then that's from sin, so how could they have that? Right? The wives of Kaliya serpent said, "The punishment this offender has been subjected to is certainly just. After all, you have incarnated within this world to curb down envious and cruel persons. You are so impartial that you look equally upon your enemies and your own sons. For when you impose a punishment on a living being, you know it to be for his ultimate benefit. What you have done here is actually mercy for us, since the punishment you give to the wicked certainly drives away their contamination. Indeed, because this conditions soul, our husband." I'm not sure how this is going to work. Not going to work. Indeed, because this conditioned soul, our husband, is so sinful that he has assumed the body of a serpent, your anger towards him is obvious to be understood as your mercy. Srila Madhvacharya writes, "One who simply thinks with devotion that, quote, the punishment which the Supreme Lord is exerting upon me is actually mercy towards me, end quote, indeed becomes pious. But for those who continue, even after receiving punishment from the Lord, to envy him, their attitude is the reason for their continuing to fail to realize him." So as long as he had that attitude and he was always fighting back, he could not realize the Lord. But once then, due to the Lord's mercy through the punishment, then he could surrender. Like I said, his wives, then they saw the sanctuary bhavas of humility and these other aspects. So then he was able to appreciate the Lord. The Nagapatnis continued, "Did our husband carefully perform austerities in a previous life, with his mind free of pride and full of respect for others? Is that why you are pleased with him? Or did he in some previous existence carefully execute religious duties with compassion for all living beings? And is that why you, the life of all living beings, are now satisfied with him?" Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. The Nagapatnis prayed, "My Lord, although he is born in a species of life which is fostered by the most abominable mode of material nature, accompanied with the quality of anger, this king of the serpents has achieved something very, very rare. Living entities who are wandering within this universe in different species of life can very easily achieve the greatest benediction only by your mercy. It is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the living entities are wandering within the universe in various species of life. But by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, they can get the seed of devotional service, and thus their path of liberation can be cleared." So, yes. So it's by the grace of the Lord. So they're saying, how did he do this unless he was doing something that was pleasing to the Lord in a previous birth? So as we saw, then he was a great sage and that, and then it was arranged that he disturbed the other sage, and so because of this, then he took his birth as a snake, but at the same time he was getting Krishna's mercy, and so then it goes back. But we see in immediate, then it's the association. Right? The Nagapatnis continued, "O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya has attained this great opportunity of being touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows." Footnote 7. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 36 to Bhagavad Arkamrita Mala, chapter 6, entitled, tasting the sublime nature of relationships with the Lord, Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Right, so to be able to get that association with the Lord, to get a connection with the Lord, that's very special. Right? So that's then this aspect. How to have that relationship, how to then within that function in that relationship. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, the word Sri refers here to her, who appears as the darling consort of the Lord of Vaikuntha and other forms of Vishnu. In this connection, Tapaha, since she is a woman, refers to the worship of her husband, and therefore means that her worship became more excellent than previously. Because of her being greedy for this particular appearance of the Lord in the form of the son of the great king of Braja, it is quite fitting that she developed hankering for him, that even she was unable to achieve him by performing austerities extending through the three phases of time, is hinted by the words beginning, Kasyanu Bhavo Sya, and the reason for being unable to attain him is that she did not have the same exclusive devotion as the gopis. Although actually it is by the association of the Nagapatnis that Kaliya has been able to take up residence in Sri Vrindavan, but still we understand that because of their considering themselves as fallen, they consider his living there, because of involving the contact of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, must fall into the category of being the consequence of some other pious activity on Kaliya's part. Right? So they're not considering that by his association with them, that he's gotten this mercy. So they're taking it that there must be some other cause for him getting the mercy. Does that make sense? Because we see is here, even Lakshmiji can't get that mercy in that particular form of being able to appreciate the interaction with Krishna. Because it says the mood is actually different. So she doesn't have that same mood of the Brajvasis in Vrindavan. Because she always thinks of Vishnu as her husband. Right? So no one in Braj thinks of Krishna as their husband. So she can't actually be part of the Braj scene. Does that make sense? Like that. So she didn't have that kind of exclusive devotion in that way. Yes.
So the other reason would be that he was thinking a lot about Garuda?
No, it's because he associates with his wives. And then, and by Garuda's benefit, then he came to Vrindavan. You know. And it's by also the Lord's mercy before. But that he's come there in Vrindavan, and so by that grace he gets, and not by their association. Because they're thinking that they're snakes also, so then they're fallen conditions. So. The Nagapatnis continued. Those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kingship of heaven, limitless sovereignty, the position of Brahma or rulership over the earth. They are not interested even in the perfections of yoga or in liberation itself. Footnote 8. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 37 to Bhagavad Marichimala chapter 17 called Analysis of the Goal of Devotional Service, Prayojana Vichara, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Right, so those who want pure devotional service, then they only want pure devotion. They don't want anything else. All these other, whatever are other great goals that you could get within the universe, they're not interested in. They're only interested in devotional service. So that's then in analyzing pure devotional service or prema, that it's free from all these other interests. O Lord, although this Kaliya, the king of the serpents, has taken birth in the mode of ignorance and is controlled by anger. Right? Because you can be ignorant and not necessarily be so angry. Because anger comes from ignorance. So it's just that he's angry, you know, he's ignorant, and the manifestation of the anger from ignorance then is very prominent. He has achieved that which is difficult for others to achieve. Embodied souls who are full of desires and are thus wandering in the cycle of birth and death can have all benedictions manifested before their eyes simply by receiving the dust of your lotus feet. We offer our obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although present in the hearts of all living beings is the Supersoul, you are all pervasive. Although the original shelter of all created material elements, you exist prior to their creation. Right, so he's the shelter of everything, but he still existed before. Otherwise, how can you shelter? Right? Let's say you want to put something on the table has to be there before you put the thing on there. Right? So he's the shelter of the whole material world. That means he has to be there before the material world was manifest. Although you are the cause of everything, you are transcendental to all material cause and effect, being the Supreme Soul. So he's the cause of the material world, which is the effect. But we see that within the material world, it has already the principles of cause and effect. Right? So people do activities, they get results, the modes of natures, then they're doing, there's transformations. You have the different demigods, you have all these different elements, but they're all empowered by the Lord's potency. So he's the original cause.
How did they become devotees, the Naga partners?
And that I'm not sure. It doesn't say.
And ended up marrying.
Well, they have to marry somebody. Yeah, it seems to be going well. Yeah, he's, means he has an 8 mile lake. In that, he's made palaces in there, and he knows the mystical science of that
Jalastamba,
so he can build things out of water, solid things out of water, and there's holes going into around the lake. There's a nice island in the middle, where they can sun themselves. So it's really well arranged. So he's doing okay. Everything that any snake princess would want. Right?
Not even a snake.
Sorry?
Not even a snake princess.
Okay. Yeah. But then how they became devotees, it hasn't mentioned. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Having praised the Lord's mercy in 6 verses, again in 10 verses they bow down 11 times, saying Nama 11 times with devotion. So it means we offer obeisance, so they offer obeisances, then each prayer, and then the last prayer has an obeisance after, so you get 11. Right? We offer obeisances as object of worship for the devotee, under the person with 6 spiritual qualities, Bhagavan, unto the person with a human-like form, Purushaya, who pervades everywhere, though in human form, Maha-Atmane, as object of worship of yogis, who dwells in all living entities, and who, though dwelling in all entities, is also Bhuta, non-different from the Jiva. Right, so he's living in, but he is the same time, so he is everything, at the same time separate. So, yeah, all these nice things. The Nagapatnis continued. Obeisance is unto you, the absolute truth, who are the reservoir of all transcendental consciousness and potency, and the possessor of unlimited energies. Although completely free of material qualities and transformations, you are the primary mover of material nature. Obeisance is unto you, who are time itself, the shelter of time and the witness of time in all its phases. So when people will say that these things don't apply now, so what does that signify? If I say times have changed, so you can't do Vedic stuff anymore. Krishna is not time. But then who is the controller of time?
I am.
Yes. But Krishna is time, right? In all its phases, past, present, and future. You are the universe and also its separate observer. You are its creator and also the totality of all its causes. So that how he is, I think, at the same time he's separate. He's created the world, he's separate from that. He is the world, he's separate from that. Srila Sridhar Swami elaborates. Because of having unlimited potencies, by the potency of time, they offer obeisances to him in the form of being the creator of the universe. To Kala, the original form of time. To Kalanabha, the shelter of the potency of time. To the witness of the aspects of time, the interactions of creation and so on. And also Vishva, the original form of the universe. Krishna then says, then I am inert. They continue, no, to him who is witness, but also the creator, and not merely the creator, but the source of the universe, the arranger of everything, right? Because he says the creator, that means you put together, like people create so many things, but they're not actually the cause of the ingredients. But Krishna is the creator and the source of the ingredients. And then having been created, how will that be situated? He's the shelter of that. So all aspects are him. Right? So then he just plays that they say one thing, nice prayer, then he'll say another point. So that's why then they say this and then say the next thing. You know, because it says, oh, you are everything, you are the universe, so I'm just dead matter? No, that you are beyond. You know what I'm saying? The Nagapatnis continued. Obeisance is unto you who are the unlimited soul of the physical elements. Of the subtle basis of perception, of the senses. Right? So you have the physical elements, you have the subtle basis of perception, means how it is, and then the senses. Right? So the eye is there, then the ability to see, that's the subtle basis of perception, and then what it sees, the physical elements. Okay. Of the vital air of life and of the mind, intelligence and consciousness. By your arrangement, right, because then these things will go on, but how will that go on? Because of that there's life, and then there's the mind, above that the intelligence that can discriminate, but beyond above that's consciousness. Because if the one's not conscious, then the other things aren't working. Right? By your arrangement, the infinitesimal spirit soul is falsely identified with the three modes of material nature, and their perception of their own true nature thus becomes clouded. We offer our obeisances unto you, the unlimited Supreme Lord, the supremely subtle one, the omniscient personality of Godhead, who are always fixed in unchanging transcendence, who sanction the opposing views of different philosophers, and who are the power upholding expressed ideas and the words that express them. Footnote 9. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 43 to Bhagavat Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 9, entitled Characteristics of the Fortunate Soul, Bhagya Jiva Lakshana, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Right? So you have the nature of the jiva, then you have conditioned souls, and you have liberated souls. Right? So then in between you have the fortunate soul, one who has taken up Krishna consciousness. Right? Yes, so even the different views of the different sages and all that, their different philosophies, even though they're opposing, all that's still coming from the Lord. For it to, and the words that are being used, right? So the ideas there, the concept that's supported by the Lord. I mean, supported means without his shelter, then they can't exist. Right? They're the words that express them, so therefore you use certain words that can convey a particular concept. But that concept is originally there coming from the Lord also. So the sage will think, I have created this philosophy, but he hasn't. It's already come from the Lord. Just that he gets the opportunity to take it up. So that's why every universe you'll have a Gautama Rishi who then will establish Nyaya. But Nyaya is already coming from the Lord. But it's not that Gautama creates it. He just is the one who is revealed through. Because right? The Lord's unlimited, so how much you'll know, that's revealed through then different individuals. So like Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, there's like 26 different kind of material positions depending upon the particular position of karma and jnana and their mixtures. Then then that will then generate all these. So all those have a basis in the Lord. Otherwise, how are they scientifically defined and described? Because you can define them with words, you can discuss them with words. The potency of the words comes from Krishna. So that's the whole point, is that the words come from Krishna, the concepts they come from come from Krishna, the syllables that they're made of to make the words come from Krishna. So all that is there. So the specific letters, they have the specific potencies that if they're in specific combinations, that makes for the specific manifestation of those potencies. Does that make sense? So it's not just what we're dealing with, just a word. We're dealing with that this word, the whole thing, that's all coming from the Lord. Does that make sense? Because one could say, but how can so much come? It's just like, how much music is there, right? Let's say we hum the tune Green Sleeves. Can you identify it? No. Only one person. Yes. Okay, but now that happens to be some hundreds of years old. You can tell. So all throughout history, then these various tunes, even though we've been, you know, let's say 1,000 years of music, you can still identify it. What does that mean? That there's so much variety, and that's coming out of what? 7 notes. Right? So now, if you have all the aksharas in the Sanskrit alphabet, so that's more like, what do you got, 46? That's the main ones, then there's the combinations. You know, just the straight ones, then you have, you know, ksha and all these other ones like that, gya. So those would be combinations, and then those will have all their natures. So you have 46 main and then so many others. And so if with 7 notes you can produce unlimited music, then why not you can produce unlimited words and their concepts with these letters? So that's all based in the Lord. It's not coming from somewhere else. It's not random. Does that make sense? It all comes down from there. So that's the understanding. So even the philosophy itself, that it has a concept, you can define it, that's still coming from the Lord. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, but you are not just the cause, you are the very soul of the material elements, giving them life. But what is remarkable is that, giving them life, you make those who are full of life appear like matter. You cover the knowledge of the jivas by the 3 gunas. What is the conclusion in all this? We cannot find the end to you, Ananta, because you are difficult to understand, Sukshma. Krishna then says, but the intelligent men say that the jiva is different from me, and that I cover the jivas. Therefore, how can you say that I am non-different from them? To which they reply, you are Kutastha, he who pervades all the 3 phases of time. Thus you remain in one form in all time, whereas the jivas take various forms for short periods of time. These forms are not their sarup. Therefore you cannot be the same as the jiva. You know everything, vipaschit, and the jivas know only a little. We pay respects to you who permits, for different purposes, all types of philosophies, such as jiva is non-different from God, jiva is material, God is consciousness, God is one alone, the jivas are many. All of these conflicting theories take shelter of Scripture. We pay respects to you, by whose desire arises the power of many meanings of many words. Vachya vachaka shaktihi. Right, so it's his potency that all this can happen. The Nagapatnis continued. We offer our obeisances again and again to you, who are the basis of all authoritative evidence, who are the author and ultimate source of the revealed scriptures, and who have manifested yourself in those Vedic literatures encouraging sense gratification, as well as in those encouraging renunciation of the material world. Footnote 10. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 44 to Bhagavad Akramrichimala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti, executed exclusively by taking shelter of the holy name. Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. Right, so here we see is that the revealed scriptures, that all the basis of all the authoritative elements are all coming from Krishna. And all these authoritative elements then are all then engaged in Krishna's service, because the Vedas come from Krishna. So the purpose of everything is to please Krishna. And so therefore, then that being the purpose, then you don't do other things. You just engage in his service. So exclusively taking shelter of the holy name means you see everything in connection with the holy name. Doesn't mean you don't perform your various duties, but you're seeing them in connection with the holy name, not something else. Is that... Srila Vishwanath Chakra. So, and we'll see is that all these different things, all the different philosophies, all the different religious aspects that are mentioned in the Vedas, they all seem to be contradictory. And they will remain contradictory until you see them in connection with the Lord. At that time, they can be reconciled because they come from the Lord, therefore they're satisfaction of the Lord. But as long as we think that the Vedas are...
independent?
Yeah, that we don't see them in connection with the Lord, we will see contradictions. Does that make sense? So we're not seeing it in actual connection with the Lord. That's why we come up with various doubts and things that, oh, but here is this, but Krishna is doing that, or this devotee is doing this, and that devotee is doing that, and all these kind of things. Because we're not actually seeing it all the way back to Krishna. So if there's any contradiction in something you're looking at, you have to take it back closer to Krishna. Right? You have to take it back to its principle. And how that pleases Krishna. That then will bring it to proper position. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, we pay our respects to the root proof, Srimad Bhagavatam, the topmost scriptural proof, Pramana Mulaya, and to Veda Vyas, its composer, Kaveye. The meaning is in the form of Vyas himself. We pay respects to you who reveal the scriptures, Shastra Yonaye. We pay our respects unto the scriptures propounding Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha, Pravriti and Nivriti, and unto you the root of both. Because all these things come from him, that's what you're engaging in the Lord's service. But it's done to please the Lord, that's why it's pure devotion. Right? When we perform religious principles because of the benefit we'll get, that's not pure. Pious, but not pure. When we're performing religious activity simply because it pleases Krishna, then that is pure devotion. Right? So the religious principles will be the common point. So, yeah. But what holds that all together? Krishna. Because the religious principles have no meaning except for their connection to Krishna, because they're from Krishna. The Nagapatnis continue. We offer our obeisances to Lord Krishna and Lord Rama, the sons of Vasudeva, and to Lord Pradyumna and Lord Aniruddha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the master of all the saintly devotees of Vishnu. Obeisances to you, O Lord, who manifest varieties of material and spiritual qualities. You disguise yourself with the material qualities, and yet the functioning of those same material qualities ultimately reveals your existence. Right? So he covers himself by these qualities that you can't see him in the universe because you just see the material energy. But because it functions, he reveals himself because the only way it can function since it's dead matter is his potency. So he makes it function. Does that make sense? So for the materialist, he just sees the material world, no God. But for those who have understanding of reality, they know that everything functions because of God. So everything that we would call material that says there is no God for the atheist is actually what proves that there's God for the theist.
Yes. So this refers to the Isupanishad verse where there's the prayer to remove the glaring effulgence. Because that's the qualities, basically.
Yes, you could, yeah. But yes, but you see him, so you're going to see those qualities, but then you want to come to the person. Right? Because the Brahman means you can see the qualities that something has. But the point is the qualities are generic. You know, like we say, pillarness. That's generic, so it's impersonal. That's Brahman. But like you say, then when you remove that thing, then you see the person who's behind the qualities of pillarness and who's therefore behind the pillar itself. you know, and then that pillar, then behind that's the, you know, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, whatever's there in making up the pillar. So in that way, it always goes back to him. So he's the source of these things, and he's the controller. Because as the source, he's Brahman. As the controller, he's Paramatma. But as Bhagavan, he's separate. Footnote 11. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 46 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 5, entitled The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord. Bhagavat Shakti Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakura's book. So how all the energies come from him and are functioning based on him. You know, I mean, in other words, taking their shelter in him. Then that's then defined here. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, because Krishna is the revealer of his qualities, such as being controlled by prema, and the cover of his majestic powers through those qualities, that form is known only by those extremely knowledgeable of bhakti. Krishna is recognized by his extraordinary quality of supreme, extreme bhakti vatsalya. No one except Swayam Bhagavan has this quality. The Lord sees the good qualities in his devotees, not the faults, and he appears in his devotee's heart. Right? So the bhakti vatsalya, that he just sees the good that's there. He doesn't see the bad. Right? So that's what he sees, and that's why he deals. That's why he interacts. Right? Because then it's going to say, as you surrender, he will reciprocate. Right? So now, how will that work for if you are simply interacting with the material energy based on your desire of what you want to gain from that material energy, right? So if the materialist, then that is the relationship. So they're worshiping Krishna in that form, he's reciprocating that form, so their material life goes on. But for the devotee, if they have some fault, you know, for example, some attachment, some aspect of the material energy, so they're going to be interacting with Krishna on that platform. But he doesn't just reciprocate on that platform, he sees them as a devotee. So even though it's a fault, he sees the devotional. So therefore, then he reciprocates in a way that increases their devotion to him. Does this make sense? So it's different. That's why Krishna karma is different. Because Krishna then sees only he doesn't see the faults. But it's not that. How you interact with him as Brahman and Paramatma, he doesn't reciprocate that. But you have the added thing, which the karmis don't have, of dealing with Bhagavan. And there he then sees as just Bhaktivatsala. Right? So. The Nagapatnis continued, O Lord Hrishikesha, Master of the Senses, please let us offer our obeisances unto you, whose pastimes are inconceivably glorious. Your existence can be inferred from the necessity for a creator and revealer of all cosmic manifestations. But although your devotees can understand you in this way, to the non-devotees you remain silent, absorbed in self-satisfaction. Right? Because they don't interact with him as a person, so therefore he doesn't reciprocate with them as a person. Right? He's Atmarama. So is the position of Atmarama, Brahman is Atmarama, Paramatma is Atmarama. So he simply interacts on that principle. What I say is Paramatma is a person, but they don't see him as a person, they just see him as a position. So therefore, from that position, he interacts. So, yeah. Obeisances unto you, who know the destination of all things, superior and inferior, and who are the presiding regulator of all that be. You are distinct from the universal creation, and yet you are the basis upon which the illusion of material creation evolves, and also the witness of this illusion. Indeed, you are the root cause of the entire world. 47 to 48.
Why would this prayer be in the 10th canto?
Because the Nagapatnis are in the 10th canto. And they're speaking it.
But the mood is very different. It's more in line with the first seven
cantos. Mm-hmm. Yes. But the point is we have come to this discussion of Krishna and his pastimes with the devotees based on prema. But where are many of our questions? So then, the Lord kindly then reciprocates and brings us again up to date. So how you say these are review elements, right? Because they always apply. The devotee, when he's dealing with the world, he can see in this way. So it's not that they don't see, it's just a matter of the kind of prayer that he'll offer. Because we see Indra also will offer prayers along these kind of lines. You know, the different, who were there? Nalukuvar and Manigriva, they would also offer in these kind of lines. So it's just a regular thing that comes up.
It seems that, you know, most every prayer begins like that. But then we see some prayers continue, and then some prayers don't. Just that's what it is.
So it's just a matter of the realization of the individual involved. Because the basic knowledge of how he is everything in between everything, that's just standard Vedic knowledge. But then what you want to get from that, then that's all the farther your realization will go. So that even if you're interested in just anamoy, pranamoy, you know, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, still, this is how it works. It still works because he is the material elements. He is the senses. He is the sense objects. He is the mind, intelligence, ego. He is the power behind all that. So they all can see that. They all accept that. That's why all the six philosophies all accept these elements. But then the point is then beyond that, what's his position? Whether they even know about Bhagavan or not, that's another thing. Because we can see in basically all the philosophies except Vedanta, they don't know he's Bhagavan. They just take him, even he's there as a person, they're relating with him as the Supersoul. They'll say he's the Supreme Lord, but the relationship with him is as Supersoul. But, like you say, that's where they're staying. Then, by the coming in contact with the Lord, the devotees, then it may progress further. But until that happens, it's not. So, yeah. So for ourselves, then these have benefit for ourselves because we also have the same thing. We're worshipping Krishna in the temple, but how we're approaching him is as Lakshmi Narayan. Right? Because of we're only worshipping because of the rules. The gopis and the residents of Vrindavan are worshipping not because of any rules. It's actually the source of rules comes from their actions. You know, it's just like, let us say, for an example, you have the, seven habits, or I think it's up to eight habits now, of successful people, right? So are from their own perspective, are those successful people following rules? Yeah. But they're just doing spontaneously, right? They may or may not know about what they're doing, but they're doing it spontaneously. Not that they couldn't know, but they just do it. So, for us to appreciate them, they're documented as rules. And so we try to follow the rules. But it's not spontaneous. Does that make sense? So the same way as the natural love of the Brajbasis, what they do, that becomes documented as the rules in Vaikuntha, and then that comes down to the material world as the Vedic injunctions. So it's actually the source is originally in them. It's just that it's based on the pure love, so you don't see the other aspects, they're not prominent. Like the residents of Vrindavan, they worship Krishna with the 16 items, that's the standard way of worship. Just with them, it's very spontaneous and sweet and loving. While in Vaikuntha, it has that affection, but it has the form of opulence and majesty. So that rules become the way of expression. Does that make sense? Yeah.
E ele falou, menino,
Srila Sridhar Swami gives the following benediction to the readers. Thus, being glorified by the wives of the serpents with these elaborated 55 attributes, the Supreme Lord was very satisfied with them. May that Lord Hari be as satisfied with you as he was with them. Okay, nice. Also interesting is that we just hear, like you said, just prayers. But here is they describe the 55 qualities that you see within the material world. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, because of his being adorned with contradictions, the resultant conclusion is his super excellent glory. Furthermore, this is the status of the supreme of the personality of Godhead, in whom all contradictions enter together, just like many different currents within a great ocean. That you can say is they're totally different from each other, coming from different directions, different sources, like that. But for all the differences, they all enter the ocean quite comfortably. Right? And they're all resolved in the ocean. He is indeed the supreme status of the absolute truth and is not accessible to logic. He can only be known by granting of his satisfaction. And thus he is that which is known as the supreme personality of Godhead, the possessor of supreme opulence. Yeah, so that's all we can know him as. We can't actually know more. What glories in that are revealed, that we can know, but he is so much more. Each one is perfect unlimitedly. The Nagapatnis continued, O Almighty Lord, although you have no reason to become involved in material activity, still you act through your external potency of time to arrange for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. You do this by awakening the distinct functions of each of the modes of nature, which before the creation lie dormant. Simply by your glance, you perfectly execute all these activities of cosmic control in a sporting mood. Srila Sridhar Swami reveals the following transition. Thus, having so far invoked the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expressing agreement with his giving of punishment and by offering of obeisances, now they are presenting the idea. What is the question of offense on the part of living entities who are subordinate to you? Right. So now it's been up to this point of glorifying him and his position. Now they're going to the point that the living entities who are subordinate to you, then what is the offense that can be committed since everything is coming from you and everything's reconciled in you? Right? So then they're going to ask for his blessings. I mean, he's Bhaktivatsala, but they're going to specifically ask. So the mercy of the Lord comes through the devotees. So Kaliya will get that mercy by the grace of the devotees, of the Nagapatnis. The Nagapatnis continued, therefore all material bodies throughout the three worlds, those that are peaceful in the mode of goodness, those that are agitated in the mode of passion, and those that are foolish in the mode of ignorance, right? And the modern culture has this perfection of being foolish and agitated. Or agitated about foolishness, foolishly agitated, well, as you like, you put it. Okay, and those that are foolish in the mode of ignorance, all are your creations. Still, those living entities whose bodies are in the mode of goodness are especially dear to you. And it is to maintain them and to protect their religious principles that you are now present on this earth, right? Because the ones in passion and ignorance, that's not what you need to protect, because what they're already doing is wrong. It's better to not protect it. It has to be adjusted. Those in the mode of goodness, they're following the scripture. That needs to be protected. Because by following the scripture, they can elevate themselves up to the platform of pure goodness. Right? That's the idea. The idea of situating yourself as goodness is that from there you can go to pure goodness. So if you fall down for pure goodness, you fall down to goodness. And then by using that now in Krishna's service, then again to pure goodness. Then when you don't use it for Krishna, then you fall down to goodness. But the activity doesn't change, just the consciousness is what's changing. But those in the modes of passion, ignorance, will find that their activities change. So they're doing these nice activities at the temple with the proper consciousness, so it's pure goodness, then they fall back down into passion and ignorance, and then up to pure goodness, then back down. It's a little bit more difficult unless you really like roller coaster rides or something. So, yes.
So it sounds like they're going to say, you created Kaliya, he is the way he is, because you created him, it's not his fault, so voila.
That means it can. It means that's generally what we would do.
Yeah.
But there's also that aspect that he's functioning under that, but he's a soul surrendered unto you, so the faults of being in that. So they're still attributing him being as a snake to him being a snake. You know, his consciousness has taken up the position of a snake. Well, yes, the potency of being a snake comes from Krishna, but they're not using it to their own advantage. They're using it to still point out is that this living entity, Kaliya, has misused his position as a living entity and has taken up sinful consciousness, therefore he's become a snake. And so, because he's a soul surrendered unto you, that's the point they'll catch. That you kind of leave the part about him being a snake and giving trouble and see the part that he surrendered and be kind to him so that he can progress in his spiritual life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, but you just stress the relationship between the Lord and the living entity rather than the Lord and the material energy and us and the material energy, so therefore it's service to the Lord for me by me being attached to what connects myself to the Lord. Does that make sense? You know, it's like I am at my house, I go to the temple, which is in another building. I get there by the car. Right? So therefore, if there's some anomalies in using of the car because you're trying to go to the temple, you know, you park in some weirdo space or, you know, stuff like that is pretty standard. You know, it's like if somebody's having a program in their house, you know, in a neighborhood, then one of the first things they have to do is explain to everybody coming what are the rules of that neighborhood, because devotees are famous for not following the standard local customs, right? You know. So, doing that, then they, you know, so they do that. So you can forgive because it's about Krishna. They shouldn't do it, but it's about Krishna. So therefore, it's taken in a light way, right? But if the driving of the car is the real interest, and going to the temple is an excuse for that, and since you're at the temple, okay, we'll chant and do all those things. But the car is the real point of interest. Then we see is that that's then what you mentioned before, is that we'll say, no, but it's for Krishna, so therefore I can become totally attached and maintain all material attachments and manifest bad qualities. So that's not what we do. It means, yes, because of that we may make some mistakes, and so Krishna overlooks that as Bhakta Vatsala. Does that make sense? So that's there, but we have to know which part of the example to take. Like that. Is that, yeah. The Nagapatnis continue. Therefore, all material bodies throughout the three worlds. Oh, we just read that one. So, Srila Madhvacharya provides the following quote. Something can be called dear in two different ways, internally and externally. The saintly devotees are internally dear to Lord Hari, whereas everything is externally dear to Lord Hari. During the annihilation, those who are not saintly are also, in a sense, internal within the Lord, just like the dear devotees. But compared to them, the devotees are situated as completely internal and dear. Right, so since the creation is Krishna, Krishna sees everything, whatever is there in connection with him, so it's dear or internal. So then when the creation gets absorbed in the Lord, then all the materially inclined jivas are also within the Lord. So you could say they're internally dear. But there's still a difference between the devotees that are internally dear and the living entities that are internally dear. Does that make sense? So Krishna makes no distinction, but as you interact with him, he responds. Since they only interact with him as Brahman and Paramatma, those concepts are only there within the minds of those of who are within the material world. Right? They only exclusively see that way. The devotees, then they see as Bhagavan, and they can also see as Brahman and Paramatma, as we see as the residents of Vaikuntha. They can see both. But we see the residents of Vrindavan exclusively just see Bhagavan. They don't see Brahman and Paramatma. Not that they can't explain it, it's just not important to them. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. So, the Nagapatnis continued. At least once a master should tolerate an offense committed by his child or subject. O Supreme Peaceful Soul, you should therefore forgive our foolish husband who did not understand who you are. Right, so in here, by him being the Supreme Peaceful Soul, I mean he's transcendentally situated, so that he's Atmarama. There's nothing for him to gain, you know, by punishing Kaliya. So it's not that it's something that needs to be done. Does this make sense? Means for purifying Kali and for benefiting him, yes, but it's not that you've done some offense and so therefore I'm angry and therefore as retribution to me, then that's not what it means. That's generally how it's interpreted. Right? You know, just like in the Abrahamic religions, then God's known to be, he's known as a jealous God. But it's not because you've done something wrong and this and that, it's because the relationship's supposed to be with him. In fact, the relationship is, but you don't notice him in it and think it's with the material energy, though he is the material energy that you're interacting with. Right. Right. So being peaceful, he doesn't have that, you know. And also being peaceful means he's not angry. And then by saying foolish husband, that places him in the mode of ignorance, that he's not actually seeing things properly. So we see here is that this principle another principle, this the cultural principle of speaking sweetly. Women speak sweetly. But so we generally will interpret that as just being saying nice things. No. It's you say whatever needs to be said sweetly. So they're saying our foolish husband. So the relationship is there. And what is that really? He's ours, so there's that sense of possession. The possession is in the form of the husband, but the reality that he's a fool. But it's said nicely, poetically. This is a very important cultural understanding, is that you can say whatever you like as long as you say it pleasantly. Does that make sense? Yeah. O Supreme Lord, please be merciful. It is proper for the saintly to feel compassion for women like us. This serpent is about to give up his life. Please give back our husband, who is our life and soul. Okay, so on that then we'll answer.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Pingala.